welcome to University Matters on Campus FM. I'm Patricia Camilleri. In this series, I will be talking to academic staff about their research, their international networks, their aims and plans for the future. I shall also be hearing from staff and students about the many events that take place here at the University of Malta. This is the programme that keeps you informed about what's happening on campus. I'm very pleased to have with me today Dr. Maureen Cole. Dr. Cole is the Dean of the newly set up Faculty for Social Wellbeing. I've mentioned this faculty a couple of times already in previous interviews, and today we're going to have a chance to get to know something about the faculty a little bit more in depth. Just a word about my guest. Dr. Cole got her BA in 1980 from the University of Malta, Bachelor in Social Work Honours from Monash in Australia in 1982, and her PhD from East Anglia UEA in UK. She worked as a social worker at Caritas Malta before taking up a lecturing post at the University of Malta in 1988. So you've been around here quite
a long
time.
Yes.
She was coordinator of the Institute of Social Welfare, which was between 92 and 93, and of the Social Work and Social Administration Unit within the Department of Public Policy, 97-2002, here at the university, and was appointed head of Department of Social Policy and Social Work in 2009, and continues to occupy that position to date. She served as Deputy Dean of the Faculty of Economics, Management and Accountancy, better known as FEMA, between 2009-2012. And on 1st August 2012, she was, as I was saying, appointed Dean of the newly established Faculty for Social Wellbeing. She has held and continues to hold various appointments at the university. She sat on the university's Gender Issues Committee, has held an appointment as Alternate Advisor on Social Harassment, and as Rector's Delegate for International Students' Wellbeing. She also sits on the university's Admissions Board. She holds a social work warrant and is a member of the Maltese Association of Social Workers. Welcome to you, Dr. Cole.
Thank you.
Well, as I was saying, this is a newly set up faculty. In fact, our 14th faculty,
yes,
which is fantastic. And this faculty has been built up on the work of various people, many different people, in different areas, and perhaps you could tell us a little bit about the genesis of the faculty itself.
How this came about. Well, it came about through the initiative of Rector, actually. Rector called a meeting of a number of people, number of heads of departments, in March, April last year, to sound us out, really, to sound us out in terms of whether it was time for a new faculty to be established. I must say that talk of a faculty of social sciences or a related area had been about for a long time. However, really, nothing had come of that. And then things happened very fast, actually, because when Rector did approach us, there were a few meetings, both with the heads and then eventually with the academic staff of the various departments, and there was very positive response, I must say. So things happened quite fast, and then the faculty was approved by Senate in June, and then eventually approved by Council in July, and I was appointed, as you said, on the 1st of August. So it's been quite a quick, really, process.
Amazingly so. Obviously, a quick process in the final stages.
That's right.
But
I would say so.
A lot
too.
Of work and sort
yes.
of the process of arriving at that.
Yes,
has
I
been
would
going,
agree.
Has been
I would
going
agree.
On. And also, really, one of the things that impressed me very much was the speed, because there were so many different people involved and different people in different areas, and it's not
always easy to get people to agree. It's not easy to get academics to agree because they tend to be rather individualistic. And so I was full of admiration.
Well, for you, I think as I see it, this is my interpretation of things. I think the process had already matured. It had reached its point of maturity such that the sort of, as you rightly pointed out, the end process moved so fast. I think that for me was a real indication as well. I remember we had a meeting because then after the first official meeting with Rector, the heads of department got together and sort of put our heads together and we had a big discussion. And before we knew it, we were talking about, so what will we do as a faculty? And it suddenly sort of dawned on us that, you know, we're already talking of, we're a faculty.
It's going to happen.
So exactly. So I think that was a clear indication that the time was ripe. Mm-hmm. So this is why things moved so smoothly, in afterwards.
Perhaps we can talk about these various areas.
Yes, certainly. Well, I'm going to talk about each department. I've got them in alphabetical order, so I'm going to go by that order. Well, the Department of Counselling, that is a new department, although counselling has been offered at the university through Progress of Studies at master's level. And these were offered through the Department of Psychology previously. So the Department of Counselling is a new department and it's taken on the responsibilities for a Master in Counselling and a Master in Transcultural Counselling, which is one of the IMPs, one of the International Master Programmes that is done in conjunction with the University of Maryland. Besides that, the Department of Counselling is also responsible for personal and social education. That was taken on by the Department of Counselling, which was previously the responsibility of the Department of Psychology. So, and staff from the Department of Psychology moved into the Department of Counselling, and I'm trying to think whether there have been new members of staff. Not recently, though. So there will be eventually quite soon new members of staff in that department. In fact, we're quite fortunate. We have two professors from the US who were involved in the, who are involved in the International Master's Program, who will be joining the Department of Counseling in the very near future. So that's going to be quite a remarkable move.
I know that counseling is a very... is popular.
Yes.
And people have been crying out to have this master's in counselling for some years.
Yes.
And but it wasn't possible. People were having to go abroad.
Yes.
To do it. What is the situation now? Are people
well,
able
the,
to...
the degree courses do have quite a number of applicants. There is quite a rigorous assessment process for people to come onto the master's program. If I recall correctly, I think we had a new intake in October, and there's about 25 or 26 students on the local one, and I can't remember the exact number on the international master student program, but that's a smaller number.
And who's next on the alphabetical list?
Yes, it's the Department of Criminology. The Department of Criminology used to be the Institute of Criminology. They too have quite extensive responsibilities. Criminology started out its history at the university as forensic studies and then became Institute of Criminology. The department is involved in research and teaching in both the fields of criminology, policing, corrections. So there's quite an area. They're interested in area of terrorism, geospatial analysis of crime, psychology, psychiatry, and biology of crime. And they also have quite a number of EU-funded projects that are being run by the department.
I would have thought that was a course where people would see quite direct possible job opportunities.
Yes, I think there are quite clear job opportunities. They do they do work with the police officers. They do training for police officers. They also run a master in probation services, which is clearly linked to working as a probation officer. But they run an undergraduate degree, which is a Bachelor of Arts Honours. Actually, it doesn't indicate that it is criminology. However, since it is run by our faculty, if people are interested, they could approach the Department of Criminology.
And of course, as we always say about bachelor degrees in general, really, you have to look at the skills that you are gaining.
Yes.
On a course like that. Even if it's not actually directed to being, I don't know, a probation officer or something very specific.
Well, it is the master's degree which leads you to be a probation officer. But
you would be learning skills that would be useful in a plethora of situations, job situations.
Yes. Well, I think most of the human services areas, really, social policy and social work students, sometimes they move out also into human resource management. So they would have learned the skills that could lead them in human services work, which in a broader sort of definition of human services work as well.
And in fact, these undergraduate degrees, at least, we really must be offering our students the widest possible set of opportunities.
Yes.
and the widest possible toolbox, so that they can actually then carry on and perhaps go in. This always amuses me. People go in with one idea, do a course, and then they suddenly flower into something which may be completely different.
Yes. I think that depends on the nature of the program itself, because there are some of within the faculty, we have some programs that are broad based, like the Bachelor in Psychology, which is an honors degree in psychology, which is a base degree which people could build on. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to become psychologists by doing that. So some people go into journalism, some people, you know, go on and do training to become learning support assistants, so in the area of disability or various other things for that matter. Or as then you've got other programs in the faculty, like the youth studies, which could lead you to become a youth worker, or social work, which is has a warrant attached to it, so it's actually a professional course that leads you to a specific profession.
Who's next?
Well, it's Family Studies.
Hmm.
The Department of Family Studies is new in that it was a centre previously.
Hmm.
So it was a centre for Family Studies, and it was already offering a couple of degree programmes at master level as well. A master in family therapy and systemic practice, and a master in family studies. The master in family therapy and systemic practice is intended for people who will become family therapists. So that is also associated to professional work as family therapists. And the master in family studies is more intended to prepare researchers. So it's got a very strong component of research preparation for people to research areas connected to the family. And those are running. Those were already running as a centre, so they were transferred to the department. The department does a lot of research in the area of family studies. The head, I don't think I've mentioned the heads of department. Mm. I think I've been remiss on that, on those. So the Department of Counselling is headed by Dr. Dionne Mifsud, and the Department of Criminology is headed by Dr. Jacqueline Atsopardi, and she's also deputy dean of the faculty, and the Department of Family Studies is headed by Professor Angela Bella.
And of course, Family Studies, again, these are very topical subjects. Something these are areas where the university, I'm sure, feels that it really should be doing this postgrad research. It's important that it does that.
Yes, and I know that Professor Abella is very keen on training and preparing the next generation of researchers, and I think that's something that we feel is a commitment for us as a faculty to ensure that, you know, there's a good group of researchers, well-prepared researchers for the future. In fact, in connection with this, there's been a number, and even other departments as well have had a number of visitors, overseas visitors. The Department of Family Studies in particular has 4 seminars throughout this academic year where top-level academics are coming over and delivering seminars related to various subjects around family studies. And there's been quite a lot of emphasis on evidence-based research. So that is being given quite a lot of importance. Mm-hmm. And again, this is, although they are family studies, they are of interest. I know I've attended a couple of them, and they are of interest not only to people who are going to be working as family studies researchers, but, you know, to various practitioners in the social sector. So whether psychologists, social workers, probation officers, youth workers. So it draws together, in a way, a lot of the departments that are within the faculty.
It has a wide scope.
Yes, a very wide scope.
There is, I presume, quite a bit of feeding from one department to the other by the academics themselves or not?
In terms of contributions?
Yes,
there is, yes. I actually sit on the... I sat before the faculty was actually on the Board of Studies of the Master in Family Therapy and Systemic Practice, so that was before the faculty came about. And I know a number of people. Yes, there's a lot of servicing, what we call servicing, in terms of the psychology teach our students and youth studies and various other. Mm. Yes, there is a lot of cross-fertilization in that way. And also some research projects where we people work together on research as well.
Who's next?
Psychology. Psychology is one of the longer established departments.
I was going to say, that's been around for a long time.
Yes. I think probably the oldest department, really. The longest established, let's not say oldest. The head of department is Professor Carmel Cefai. Psychology offers, as I was saying, a Bachelor of Psychology honours. But however, psychology is also offered within the Faculty of Arts with another subject, so students could study psychology, and that is of course serviced by the Department of Psychology. And then they offer a Master in Psychology, and they've got various specialist areas in that. There's in clinical psychology, counselling psychology, or educational psychology. So far I know there are plans to offer other specialist areas. That takes in quite a small number because of the various the practice side, that is a limiting factor. However, it's quite an intense and psychologists are very well prepared through that program, I know.
The undergraduate degree, I think, has always been extremely popular.
It is popular.
Do you have your largest number of students in the department in psychology?
I don't actually have the actual numbers for each department. I know I do have the number for the whole of the faculty, and that is around 900. So it's not a small number, really, when you think it's
not
a new
all.
Faculty. However, as I said, we've inherited the departments from established departments which were functioning in other faculties. Perhaps I should also mention where they were previously. The Department of Psychology was part of the Faculty of Education, and that's all, because the others were Family Studies, as I said, was a centre.
And the some of the credits for the undergraduate degree can be optional credits for people from other,
yes,
from beyond your faculty,
definitely.
And are, I know, very popular.
Yes, definitely. Most of our departments do offer optional study units for people from any faculty to
take.
That's
a wonderful thing, actually.
Yes.
Because even if you're doing like, you know, geography or archaeology, but you would like to have a sort of basic, very basic idea.
Understanding of
psychology.
Psychology does draw people, because it helps us to understand ourselves in some way. So it's one of those subjects that people are drawn to.
and social policy and social
work? Well, that's the department I lead. Our department offers a BA honours degree in social policy or social work. It's a four-year degree programme. When students come in, they don't make the choice before they come in to whether to choose social policy and social work. They have a common year. So a common foundation year where they are offered, in a way, they're offered study unit in both the subjects, and they're also guided in their choice. We find that both for social policy and social work, students are not normally ready to make that decision when they start university. So that first year we find is very helpful. So that foundation year, and then once they select and are selected, because I must say that in order to choose social work, there's a selection process. And once they do that, then they go on to the program the next 3 years.
What would you say was the, sort of the basic differences between the two areas, really?
The students who do social work will be doing a lot of direct work with people in difficulty, obviously. And whereas students who do social policy will be managing programs, they're not social policy makers, of course. They are, however, they'll be at working more at a program level rather than at an individual, direct, person-to-person level. So that's the main difference. They still need very similar skills. However, the social workers would be doing a lot of direct personal work. Our department also offers a master program, a master in social work and a master in social policy. We're planning to open up the master programs in October. We've already run one cohort. This is going to be the second time we'll be offering. And we normally offer a specialist area. So our plan is to offer the specialist area of working with children and families and the specialist area of social and mental well-being. That's in the social work program. And the social policy will only be offering the social and mental well-being. So so both social work and social policy are going to be open. We had designed a postgraduate diploma. We have designed the postgraduate diploma and the regulation of social care. However, unfortunately, we didn't have enough uptake for that to open. We offered it last October and we didn't have sufficient uptake. We're hoping that we will rally more interest. A very specialized course for people who are working as regulators. Standards, Department of Social Welfare standards in social care. So people who are overseeing the standards in the social care sector. This is all a very new area for Malta. Mm-hmm. But we're hoping that in the near future we will have enough interest in that course as well.
Youth and Community Studies?
Youth and Community Studies offer an undergraduate degree in Youth and Community Studies, a Bachelor of Arts Honours degree. This is an evening programme. And again, this tends to attract
people working already in
the field, or perhaps people who are teachers who have contact with young people and would like to develop their knowledge, skills, abilities in relation to working with young people. I know there are plans in the offing and for the youth workers to start receiving a warrant as well for it to be recognized as a profession, and that is quite well advanced as well. They also offer a master in youth and community studies, and that is also an evening program.
And the last on the list?
The last on the list is the Disability Studies Unit. This is a new unit altogether. I must mention the head of department of the Youth and Community Studies. It's Dr. Albert Bell. The Disability Studies Unit was established with the faculty, so that's come about since August. Although disability related studies have been taught at the university for a long time, mainly in the Faculty of Education, this is looking at disabilities in a broader perspective. We are already offering a master program, a master in disability studies, because the work was done through our department, actually my department, Social Policy and Social Work. So when the unit was set up, it already had a program ready and it started offering it. There's 9 students on that on that program. And what is interesting about disability studies is it attracts people from various areas and professions. It's intended to look at disability from a sociological, philosophical, broader perspective. It is not intended to prepare people to actually work with disabled people. It's just broadening people's perspective. So a manager could come and, you know, take an MA in disability studies to understand better, you know, disability in the community, so to speak.
Well, in the last minute or two that we have, perhaps I can ask you a question that you're going to find a bit difficult to answer. You're a dean now.
Yes.
Before you were head of department, what does it mean to be a dean? It isn't just about just a name or a title, is it?
No, it's not. Well, as a dean, I'm one of the principal officers of the university, so I think with that comes a lot of responsibility. At least that's what I think. It comes a lot of responsibility. So there's a lot of statutory responsibilities that come with that. I chair the faculty board, which brings together the heads of departments and the second representative from each department and student representatives. I must mention students because they're very important in the running of the faculty. So besides the statutory responsibilities, what I see as very important in at least my deanship is the relationship side of things, is bringing people together, ensuring that people work harmoniously. And this doesn't mean that it does. This is not quelling the debate and the argumentation and discussion.
Never will.
No, because they're important. Because they're very important. However, it's ensuring a good service to our students, the best service, I think, and also for us to come together and do good research as well. Because those are the two, in my opinion, those two important things that we're about. And to do those well, the more harmonious our relationships are, the better we will do those. We will focus on those.
Exactly so. Well, come to the end of the programme.
Thank you.
Thank you very, very much, Dr. Maureen Cole, Dean of the new Faculty for Social Wellbeing, for coming to talk to us about it today.
It's been my pleasure.
Thank you for being with us on University Matters. You can listen to any of the previous interviews in this series on the Campus FM website. I hope you'll join us again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.